Well, good morning. Very warm welcome to you this morning. If you're joining us for the first time, or for the 101st time, or you're on Zoom, welcome this morning to our time of worship together. Start with some words from Deuteronomy that I've been looking at during the week, and I shared on with the leadership team on Wednesday. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How gracious is our God? He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he? There are some words in there, aren't there, that actually tell us about the character of God. How glorious he is. He's the rock. He's perfect. He's just and fair. Faithful. Doesn't do anything wrong. And this morning, as we come to our time of worship, my prayer this morning is that God will meet with us in a new and a fresh way this morning as we engage in worship. So let's just open with a word of prayer, and then we will sing together. Lord Jesus, as we begin our time of worship this morning, we invite you into this space. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a faithful God. You are the one we can rely on. You are our sustainer and provider and the firm foundation upon which we can stand. So meet with us in a new way today as we offer our worship to you. Amen. Worship group going to come and we're going to share some songs together. Please feel free this morning to stand or to sit or to stand to start and then sit. Don't feel that you have to stand for the whole of our time of singing together. It's important that we just come before God to worship. So let's worship God together as we sing our first song this morning. Praise him on the trumpet. Youngsters, if you want to grab an instrument, come and grab an instrument. Because we're going to do praise him on the trumpet. Come and get something to bash. I'm sure you want to bash something this morning.
The instruments aren't limited to the children. If you adults want to feel like you want to join in.
If adults feel like bashing something as well, then adults come and bash.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, this morning for Nick as he leads us through your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the things that he has for us this morning, Lord, are the things that you want to lay on our hearts, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes, Lord, that we will see you.
Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. We want to see you.
Thank you. Please be seated. The youngsters are going to head to their groups now. I'm just going to pray for them as they go. Heavenly Father, thank you for our young people that are here this morning. I pray you will bless them as they go to their groups. Give them a great time as they learn something new about you. Bless the leaders that are going this morning. Help them too to share your love with the youngsters as they go and have a great time. Amen. Let's come together and just spend a few minutes in prayer, shall we? Lord, this morning, I pray you will open our eyes. Let us see more of you this morning. And gracious God, as we come before you, knowing that we're living in a broken world, we hear of war and invasion, and we pray for peace. Please be with those on the Israeli-Palestine border where again we have seen and heard conflict. And we continue obviously to hold Ukraine and Russia before you this morning. Lord, for all those broken places where man rises up against fellow man, we ask for your mercy. For lives that have been torn apart by famine, earthquake and flood. Lord, in your mercy, step in and bring help. We thank you for all those relief and charity workers who tirelessly try to reach these people and offer what help they can. Remember our mission partner, Mission Aviation Fellowship, and give thanks for the work they're doing in reaching people isolated and cut off in remote parts of the world. And as we look closer to home, we see the brokenness in our own country. People struggling to get by on what little they have. Addicts who have become dependent on alcohol and drugs. Those who sleep on our streets. Lord, we bring all these before you and ask for mercy. Show us compassion, Lord, and help us to model what you would do. And for those in our fellowship who are recovering from illness or surgery, those unwell, awaiting test results or further treatments, please be with them this morning. Bring healing, we pray, and be with all those who are providing care. And Lord, we bring ourselves before you, Almighty God. Thank you that you are the answer to our broken world, and help us to show love to those around us. Give us a boldness to speak out for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to just sharing around God's word this morning, we're going to sing one more song. And I've chosen this for a verse that some of you may well not know. And it's the last verse, and it says, "May his beauty rest upon me, as I seek to make him known, so that all may look to Jesus, seeing him alone." Let's stand and let's sing this fantastic hymn together. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, I don't know if you've been able to work out what the theme for this morning is from the songs that we've sang. But simply it's this. It's seeing Jesus. A father told his young boy to go to bed. He started up the stairs, but realized it was dark and he couldn't reach the light switch. He went back down. But his dad told him to go on up because God was there. The boy knew that was the final answer, so he started up. But on the first step, he stopped, looked up, and said, "God, if you're there, please don't move or you'll scare me to death." This morning, we're going to look at three stories which involve people not being able to see. And I want to do it slightly differently this morning. I want to allow a space between each story to allow God to speak directly to you and to me. So I've chosen a hymn by Clara Scott that we'll stay seated and we're going to sing it in parts between each section as a way of getting us to pause and reflect and ask God to speak to us. And each verse is pertinent to a little bit of the story that I'm going to share. The chorus goes like this. "Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine." So let's pause before we look at the first passage and let's sing a verse and the chorus together. Thank you, Brian. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we come to your word, I pray you will be with us. Open our eyes, illumine us to the things that you have for us this morning. Amen. If you want to follow along, we're going to start at Luke chapter 18. And we're going to start at verse 31, and we're just going to keep reading into chapter 19. Three stories about people that couldn't see. So Luke 18, picking up at verse 31. "Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, 'Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again.' But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words were hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about." So we start this morning with a reminder of what Jesus was to suffer when he finally arrived in Jerusalem. He was trying to prepare the disciples for what was to come. The culmination of his earthly work, to die a criminal's death and then rise again 3 days later. Many were expecting Jesus to overthrow the Roman occupation and set himself up as king. But he rode into Jerusalem not on a huge war horse, but on a young donkey. His followers still shouted, "Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord." This man arriving in Jerusalem, surely coming to fix things. fix things he did, but not in the ways anyone was expecting. You see, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the entirety of humanity, to perform an action that would change things forever for everyone. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was thinking not only of his disciples and followers, but of you and me also. We became part of the story. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And for us here in 2023, when we read what Jesus shared with the disciples, and not for the first time, I might add, that he was going to die and rise again, it's fairly obvious to us what he was talking about. We have the benefit of all of Luke's gospel, and in fact, the rest of the New Testament and the entire Bible. We know how the story plays out, but the disciples simply didn't get it. They couldn't see or understand what Jesus was saying. For them, Jesus was unstoppable. He was the miracle-working teacher who had power over everything. They saw him walk away from a crowd in his boyhood hometown of Nazareth, who were ready to throw him over a cliff. He was also hidden from those who got angry at his teaching in the temple and had picked up stones to throw at him. So this Jesus, he could overcome anything. The disciples had seen this with their very eyes. There was no way anyone could hand him over to the Romans, let alone see him mocked, spat at, whipped, and killed. You see, the disciples failed to grasp what Jesus was saying. In fact, we read in verse 34 that the significance of Jesus' words were hidden from the disciples. Just maybe if the disciples knew what was about to happen, at the very least, they would have tried to talk Jesus out of it. Or worst case, even deserted him there and then. And of course, it wasn't until after the resurrection that they grasped the meaning of Jesus' death. So this failure to see, understand, and grasp Jesus' words, surely this must have had a place in God's purpose. You know, I'm so glad this morning that I'm not called to understand everything. It's okay not to grasp it sometimes. And just maybe, we're not supposed to anyway. I can simply hold on to verses like Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. God works for good. We're simply called to continue to love and trust in him. And all those times when I've questioned God and said, look, Lord, where is the good in that? Nothing good is coming out of this situation. Where are you in all this? It's in these times that I really have to remind myself that God knows. And it's probably best, actually, that I don't. God will reveal to me what he wants when he wants me to know it. How does Paul put it in 1 Corinthians? We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. There's coming a day when we will understand and see it all as God sees it. But today is not that day. Having said all that, it shouldn't stop us asking for godly wisdom and insight, though. Sufficient for now is to grasp hold of the little that God has called you and I too, to understand what it means in our own individual context and how it fits in with the vision of helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. So for all you who have found Jesus for yourself and are seeking to follow him, Ask yourself this morning, right now, what is it that God has called me to in helping someone else to find and follow him? Because that is our calling. What does it say at the end of Matthew? What did Jesus say? Go and make disciples of all nations. We are called to share the love of Jesus with those around us. We're going to pause again and we're going to sing a little more and give us a moment and an opportunity to silently ask God just that. God, what have you called me to this morning? Let's sing again. If we keep reading, same chapter, verse 35, it goes on to say that Jesus was walking and he sees a blind beggar crying out for mercy. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. A blind beggar crying out to Jesus for mercy. He sees the opportunity to ask for help. In fact, he made a great nuisance of himself to get attention. He couldn't see Jesus physically for himself, but he knew he was there. Jesus' reputation had preceded him, and the blind man knew that Jesus could meet his need. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," he shouted. And obviously, we've read that when those around yelled at him to be quiet, did he shut up? No. He shouted even louder. "Have mercy on me." He was desperate. Jesus, upon hearing the man's plea, called to him to be brought forward. Jesus, showing mercy, asked the man what he wanted. "To see, Lord." "I want to see," came the response. And the miracle happened. No spittle, no placing mud on eyes, no washing in a pool. We are told that the man's faith had healed him, and he was instantly able to see. And what was the first thing he saw? He saw, I think, Jesus. And I wonder if that's you this morning. You're here, Maybe you've been coming for some time. Maybe a long time. But you haven't actually seen Jesus for yourself. Yes, you've heard a lot about him, but you haven't actually seen or felt him in your life. Haven't had that personal encounter that you've read about in the Bible and maybe seen in others. You, like the blind man, have cried out for mercy. Jesus, I need you this morning. I want to see you. And if that's you, then like the blind man, Jesus would say to you, receive your sight. And as you open yourself up to him, he will meet you where you are right now. Just ask him to fill you where you sit. Now you might be sitting there thinking that you need Jesus afresh this morning. It's been a while since you saw him yourself. You've had that personal encounter and you know Jesus has changed your life, but this morning you need a top up. You may have been drifting along. And it may have been some time since you prayed or found time to read the Bible, or you just feel that God is distant and isn't listening to you anymore. And trust me, I can relate to that. But you too this morning can ask Jesus to meet with you in a new way today. And if you need to see Jesus this morning, then just ask silently now. We're going to pause again and we're going to sing another verse. And then I'm just going to allow a space to just reflect personally on where each of us are as individuals. This is about you and God this morning. It's not about those around you. This is personal between you and your Heavenly Father. Let's sing. Lord Jesus, open our eyes this morning. Show us something new of you. As we continue to read our story, we've moved over into chapter 19 now. And it's a story that's going to be very familiar to many of us. When Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, come quickly down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to be a guest, a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. What do you do when others are preventing you from seeing? Well, you climb a tree, of course. No one likes tax collectors, especially in Jesus' time, when Jews were collecting for the Romans. They were treated as the lowest of the low and would often cheat citizens out of the money to line their own pockets, employing thugs if you couldn't pay. And we read in our story that Zacchaeus wasn't just any old tax collector. We're told that he was the chief tax collector. So he would have had collectors under him. And then he would have took commission on the amount they collected. So we're told that he was very rich. And he would have been treated as an outcast, probably having very few friends. And so no one would have been bothered that he couldn't see, and certainly wouldn't have helped in any way. But we read in our story, completely undeterred, and in a very undignified way, for a man of his power and wealth, he ran and climbed a tree. He was curious. There was something within him that compelled him to want to simply see Jesus. He may have had lots of questions as to who this person was and why he was so popular and drew huge crowds wherever he went. He just had to experience it for himself. So he climbed a tree. And then Jesus came along. The man who went out of his way to associate with the outcasts and marginalized, and even having them in his group of close friends. Jesus even told the Pharisees that he'd come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you know, I'm so thankful for that. Paul writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, folks, that includes you and it includes me. None of us are exempt. We are all sinners saved by grace through the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. So it should have come as no surprise when he stopped, looked up the tree Zacchaeus had climbed, called him down by name, and invited himself to be a guest at Zacchaeus' house. Note here the request. It was not, I would like to stay at your house, Zacchaeus. Rather, I must be a guest. Here, we see the divine appointment, the pre-arranged visit. Jesus knew Zacchaeus was going to be up the tree. And for him, it was no surprise. The visit had been prearranged. It was part of Jesus' mission. He came, of course, to seek and save the lost, which included Zacchaeus, and which, of course, includes you and includes me. And unfortunately, we're not privy to the conversation at Zacchaeus' house. Oh, how I wish I would have been a fly on the wall. But we know from the story that it was a turning point in Zacchaeus' life. I mean, what would you say if Jesus invited him over to your house for a meal? I wonder how the conversation would play out. An opportunity for you and me to ask all those questions that have been going round and around that you think need answering. A bit like Alpha. the Alpha course we're running, a place where you can explore who this Jesus is and what he offers for your life and mine. You see, this morning, you are always noticed, especially if you make an effort to climb a tree, going out of your way in order to get a glimpse of Jesus. And of course, Jesus' simple act of kindness and being called out, even though Zacchaeus was a cheat, that led him to a complete life-changing experience. Those he'd swindled got justice by getting back much more than what was taken. He was truly sorry, and Jesus forgave him. And this might be you this morning. You've climbed that tree hoping to see Jesus. You're at the beginning of your journey, and Jesus might seem a long way off at present, and you've questions, things you need to get straight in your own mind. But Jesus sees you and wants to reveal himself to you personally. You see, Jesus will not walk past the tree. Rather, he will stop and he will look up. And this morning, you can ask himself to show himself to you. And whilst you might not get all the answers, and that's where faith comes in, you can know his presence within you. He calls you by your name and wants to be a living reality in your life and mine. Just think about that for a second. This Jesus, who created the entire world, is not going to walk past you or me. In fact, he is actually going to stop. And he is going to look directly at you. No one else. Directly at you. Let's pause and let's sing our final verse. I've been reading Song of Songs recently, a book in the Old Testament. And you know, this is a book that's given very little pulpit time. Romantic poetry portraying a young man and woman who are very much in love. And they're not afraid to declare the emotional and physical pleasures of their human intimacy one for another. The whole book is simply a book celebrating love. And I want to finish this morning by reading a small section, and then just to let you know what came to me as I read it And I read it again. And I read it for a third time. And it's from Song of Songs, and it's chapter 2. It's just a few verses. The young man is desiring to be in the woman's presence. He arrives at her home. And then she recalls him saying, "My lover said to me, 'Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past, and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one.'" And when I read that, I had to stop. And I had to read it again. Because God said something to me. And I wasn't quite sure. So I read it again. And it's those times, isn't it, when you read something and you think, "God, is that you? Or is that just me trying to make something up here?" And I've pondered these few verses for quite some time. And the feeling hasn't gone away. And I get the sense this morning that God would say to you and to me that it's time to rise up. The winter is behind. A new season has begun. Look and see the new things that are appearing. It's time to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into the next season for our lives and for that of our fellowship here. Jesus would have you come away with him, because it's only in him that the broken life can be mended and new life can begin. Let's rise up and grasp the new things God is doing as we endeavour to walk ever closer with him. And I want to leave you with this. Jesus sees you this morning. And the question you have to ask yourself is, do you see him? He sees you. He knows you. Do you see him? Do you know him? He would say, "Rise up. Come away with me." I'm going to invite you all to stand, and I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing. And it's a song on the, it's a video song this morning. We're going to finish with this. Not a normal song to finish our service with. But hey, this is not a normal service. This is a service this morning that has given you an opportunity to meet with the risen Lord Jesus Christ personally. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning that as we sing this final song, or maybe as you just listen to this final song, that you ask yourself the question, do you see Jesus? When was the last time you saw him? When was the last time he did something within you? You felt the Holy Spirit within you doing something, challenging you, inviting you into him further. And this morning is an opportunity for you and for me to say, "Lord, I come to you afresh this morning as I am. I need something more from you this morning, because I know I certainly need a refreshing touch from Jesus. In fact, I need a refreshing touch from Jesus every minute of every day." And this morning is an opportunity for you and for me to ask yourself that question, because Jesus sees you this morning. Do you see him? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning we wait on you and come asking that you will open our eyes to see you more clearly. And no matter where we are on our journey with you, whether that be right at the beginning or having walked with you for many, many years, I pray that you reveal more of yourself within each of us this very morning. Open our eyes, ears, mouth and mind to hear and learn from you, and then be able to share your love with others. This morning, Lord, I want to simply see you. Nothing else, just you. Come, Lord Jesus, and fill us anew. Let's sing together. Lord Jesus, fall afresh on us this morning. There's going to be a time and opportunity for prayer. Wouldn't it be great if, when you went and grasped your cup of tea and coffee, when you went and grasped your biscuit, you then went and grasped somebody and sat and prayed with them that God would fill them anew. This service doesn't finish when I say the benediction. This service finishes when God says it finishes. And this morning, I would ask you, yes, go and get your coffee. Go and get that cup of tea. Have a biscuit. And then get somebody to pray with you. If you need a refreshing touch from Jesus this morning, don't leave it. Ask someone to pray with you. And ask Jesus to step into your situation. Ask the Holy Spirit to turn you around this morning. Because Jesus sees you. And he wants to meet with you. And he wants to meet with me. He would say, rise up. Come away with me. See the new things I am doing. And this morning, if that is you, and you want to see Jesus afresh, he sees you and wants to refresh you this morning. He wants to fill you anew. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And so may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.